Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum's Table 40 podcast with Matt and Leslie Holiday is presented by the Sports Spectrum magazine. We're talking about faith-focused stories that you won't find anywhere else and content suitable for all ages. The magazine is a quarterly magazine. You get four issues. It comes out four times a year, and you can get a one-year subscription for just $18 or a two-year subscription for $30, and all subscriptions come with our free digital access. It's a quarterly magazine. You can subscribe today at sportsspectrum.com/magazine, sportsspectrum.com/magazine. And this is the preeminent sports and faith magazine around. If you have kids that you want to raise in the faith and they love sports, I would highly recommend the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can check it out today and order your subscription at sportsspectrum.com/magazine, sportsspectrum.com/magazine, and get your subscription today.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Table 40. Matt and Leslie here, and today our special guests are Tyler and Tiffany Klutz. Tyler is a former NFL fullback and played for the several organizations, most notably in this area of the country, the Dallas Cowboys, which carries a lot of weight around here. But also played or wrestled in high school, which I'm a
which
big wrestling
fan. Which carries a lot of weight around here.
So I'm a big wrestling fan. My best friend here is the associate head coach of the wrestling team at Oklahoma State. Yep. And he's a three-time All-American. And so I've gotten into wrestling through him. I didn't know much about it at all. So I read your bio and I was like, I think you were number one wrestler in California.
Yeah, it was a state champ. Yeah.
He won't say this, but he was actually offered both wrestling and football scholarships. So he kind of had to make a decision.
Wrestling was too hard.
I was going to say, we can start there. What did wrestling, the discipline of wrestling, that I'm sure that helped your football career, right? I mean, the discipline of these guys is incredible.
Yeah, it's a sport. I think that other than like mixed martial arts, but I mean, in an organized sport within schools, it teaches different factors than any other sport. I mean, you not only physically, I would argue is the most challenging sport because it's like pure exertion the entire time, you know, in high school is 2 minute rounds. So think about like, you know, forcing all of your energy for 2 minutes and with somebody that is exactly your same body weight. And it's really just a my will versus your type deal. And so, yes, physically it's hard, but then the discipline that comes with it is the preparation, the conditioning that goes with it, all on top of, you know, the discipline of a diet. And, you know, there's guys that have discipline where it's like, all right, I bench and then I cut 15 pounds in 3 days. Or it's the guys that really do well, have a sustainable plan, but couple all of that and just being uncomfortable all the time. Like, and that's what I think wrestling taught. I mean, there's tangible things, there's like leverage and, you know, and things like that, that carry over, but sustaining 3 months of being uncomfortable all the time is just something that carried over like a 3.5-4 week training camp in Oxnard, California was a breeze. It's like, guys, you'll have no idea how easy this is compared to some other things you could be doing.
Yeah. You can eat whatever you want. Like I see these guys who are like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like they're disciplined and just their knowledge of food and stuff at such a young age. I'm like, it's pretty impressive.
When you literally dream for like 3-4 nights in a row of just a Gatorade, like being able to drink a Gatorade, like that's when you know, right? Okay. This is something else.
That's really funny. I was on this, I mean, just because of vanity purposes, I was on a fast, right, for like 5 days. And I thought I was doing the hardest, most uncomfortable thing ever. And we went over to the Esposito's house and there's a table full of wrestlers and I was complaining about it. And they looked at me like, what an uneducated woman. Like we go to bed hungry every single night and she's only struggling for 5 days because, and she's not even competing for anything. Anyway, I felt really stupid because they were, and that's what Matt asked him. He was like, I mean, how many nights a week do y'all go to bed hungry? And they're like, every night. Every
yeah. Night. The only night you don't is the night after a tournament. And
yeah. Yeah.
You can actually eat. Yeah.
But he's always been that, like, even when we'd start dating, like we'd go on a date and like, I'd order a bowl of pasta and he'd order like grilled chicken and steamed vegetables. And they'd always hand him the bad meal and give me, and I'm like, no, it goes the other.
She could get away with it. She had good genetics. I didn't.
No, so but he's just always been so disciplined. It's admiring because I was not like that.
No, we're married to a very similar personality, Tiffany. I had a 5-day glory moment, and then, you know, with my fast, but that's like, that was it. I've only been able to do it for 5 days. Matt is very disciplined too, and all of his decisions.
I can't fast though. Like, she's like, you want to do this with me? I'm like, you do know that I weigh twice as much as you. Like, your little bar that's on your fast, like, am I supposed to eat 2 or 3 of these? Like, 10. You know. So I was like, you know what? I just try to eat healthy, and then these fast things aren't really for me. I don't do well.
Yeah, they're not for me anymore either. I'm done with them.
Yeah. Well, you're done with it, so no more.
Yeah, no more. I did it. I did it for 5 days, so I could relate to what you were just saying. That 5 days.
You're very much like a wrestler. I mean,
so much like a wrestler.
And you were
pretty much the same thing. Yeah.
And you were running half the day, not eating with what did you used to do? Garbage bags and. So it wouldn't even be that, but then they're exercising. Like, I'm like, I can't even get out of bed. I've only had juice.
It's incredible. Do you have a favorite team that you watch now?
The Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys, just because we're here in Dallas area. You know, we spent our last 3 seasons here, retired here. You know, there's just a special connection there. So okay. Dallas, I grew up a 49er fan, so I hated the Cowboys, So I grew up in the 90s when it was a really big rivalry. So it was a big deal to jump over to Cowboy Nation from the 49ers.
But we love watching our friends play. Like, we still have a handful of friends that play. So we'll watch and encourage. Like, we always tell the kids, like, we are cheering for so-and-so, or, you know, instead of it being like a team as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. And Matt, you know, right? It's like, all right. It's fun watching, I'm sure, St. Louis and Colorado, and it's good one. But you're like, all right, the guys I played with, the guys I'm rooting for, it's a whole lot easier doing that. Because if St. Louis and Colorado played, then it's like, all right, do I have to make a decision here or what?
What about college? Do you still watch Fresno State pretty closely? Is that?
I follow. The hard part is here, Fresno always plays like night games in California. So they're usually like 9 o'clock kickoffs here. So they're a little bit later if they're actually on.
And we're old. So that's really late bedtime.
But it's, yes, I do. And I still root for them. So I'll still get up Sunday mornings and check the score. And I want to follow them. And, you know, they've had some good seasons since I graduated. So it's been fun being a fan, and they've had some rough seasons. So. But yeah, they're still, it's a different personality. It sound like the old guy, right? Like, you look back, kids these days are soft. But it's different. When Fresno State, when I was there, was very much the, like, literally our motto was shut up and hit somebody. Like, that was our motto at Fresno State. And so, like, that was blasted all over our locker room, all over the offices. So it's just different. Now it's just a little different personality. We recruited a lot of like real gritty farm kids from the Central Valley. Mm-hmm. And since then since there's been success in the program, there's more of these like high profile 4-star guys that they're recruiting, and nothing wrong with that. They're really good athletes. It's just, it's a different brand of football. It's more spread them out, where we were just more of a, line up and run at you every play.
So when you went to high school, you were obviously wrestling and playing football, and mm-hmm. you decided football, I'm doing this, and turned down the college wrestling opportunities. What other schools were you looking at besides Fresno State?
So I didn't have a ton of opportunities. I had University of Montana recruit me as a quarterback. But Fresno was really the, being local, because I grew up in Clovis just outside of Fresno, and they really spent the most time with me and pursued me the most. And I committed really early because I just wanted to ensure that, hey, look, all I care about is continuing playing this game. At 4 years old, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to play football. So I committed, and then my dream school was UCLA. And it's funny. It's always how it happens, right? I verbally committed to Fresno State right before my senior season. And then UCLA comes in like 5 or 6 weeks into the season and offered me a scholarship.
And he's so loyal. And he's like, no, I already verbally committed. I'm like.
But again, what's that?
When did you guys meet?
Well, that's what we try to tell the kids. Like, we walk through that a lot. Like, even though our plan doesn't always go the way we think, the Lord is so gracious in the way that he lines it up, because we would not have met each other if it wasn't for Fresno State, because we were friends all through his 4 years at Fresno State. And so I am grateful that it happened that way. But if he would have done that, then I always say, well, then you guys wouldn't be here.
Yeah. And I mean, for a few reasons, for all sure. And also too, because we were friends all through college, like our relationship started with zero. She knew everything about me. We didn't have to do that. Like, hey, put on an act. I mean, I could be me, cause she knew who I was, you know, cause we were in, you know, similar friend groups and we hung out. And so it was no secrets.
I loved you all for everything about you.
What sparked the romantic fire from just the sort of friendship?
Oh, tell them the beach story. The beach story. Tell them that one.
The beach story.
Yeah, coming out of the ocean.
Hey, so Tyler was your typical California, long, shaggy, white hair, and it was, gosh, it was awful.
I love how this story starts.
So I was in a long relationship and he was too. So I wasn't like really looking at him in that way, but there were times that he would come out of the water after surfing, because he'd put his hair back, like he'd slick it back, and he was shredded. Like, I mean, whew. So anyway, that was the only time that I was really like, oh, he's so good looking.
Yeah. So for the record, I fell in love with Tiffany's personality, the fact that she looked like, and she was lusting after my physical appearance. So,
which is totally fine.
It's that diet, Tiffany. It's that diet.
That's right. Like
that wrestling, ice cubes
wrestling and diet.
Unlike women, like I would
he
never
was
be
starving, but he looked good,
never
right?
Never be offended by that. Like, if she's like, oh, yeah.
No.
I'm like, that's fine. I don't care if you're just attracted to me, my body. I don't care.
No, but I had just gotten a Facebook and I had reached out to Tyler. We hadn't seen each other in probably like 6 months, maybe even almost
a year.
I had
probably been about a year.
And I had asked him how him and his girlfriend were doing. And anyways, it kind of just, he was still with her and we saw each other out, and then, that didn't last long. And we
the relationship I was in. But I was playing in Canada. So I was undrafted out of college, and I went and played in Canada. And it was like the last week I was in Canada, and she, you know, slid into my DMs. And then I came home, and I think like the first night I got back, we ran into each other.
Didn't know each other were going to be there.
And it was one of those things.
And he cut his hair.
Oh, there you go.
It is a very important fact in all.
It was one of those things. And Tiffany had always been just one of those girls that was always like unattainable, right? She was like next level. Like, I never had a shot, and I just accepted that. And maybe that's why it worked, because there wasn't pressure on me. When she reached out and when we reconnected, I was at the very, very end of relationships, a relationship that had lasted probably 2 years too long. And it was one of those things. It was like, okay, like, this is the type of woman I would marry. And so we connected. And then once the relationship was over, we went on a date, and literally after the first date, my mom always tells a story. Like, I had moved home after Canada because we made so much money in Canada. I had to live at my parents' house. And she woke me up like the next morning at like, I don't know, 7 or 8 o'clock. And she said, I walked in and you were sleeping with a huge smile on your face. And she's like, I knew that you were going to marry her. And I did too.
That's really
cool. It's because I'm on the moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it really wasn't like the first day because you guys knew each other so long.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. We did know each other, but it was like, it was totally different because it kind of was a date, right? And so it was a totally different perspective. For me, it was like, I never thought I'd be in this zone. I always thought I'd be in the friend zone because I was really good at the friend zone.
And we had been talking for 3 hours, you guys. We were literally, and he still had not kissed me. And I'm like, I look at him and I go, are you going to kiss me?
Who kisses on the first date?
And he goes, I can't kiss you on the first date. My dad always said, I can't kiss on the first date. I'm like, Tyler, we've known each other for 4 years. And so he finally kissed me, but I had to put in all the work here, bud.
Like, if you look at the two of us, would you ever think that she was the one that pursued me? Never, never.
Okay, wait, let's go back a second. You said you were undrafted and you went to play football in Canada. I think that's fascinating because we've been doing this for a little while now, and there are so many stories like that with professional athletes that a door was seemingly shut and then that we just had to reroute it to get to where we were going. And I think the courage in that mindset and just the inner belief and like, no, this is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm going to do. To me is really interesting. So sort of walk us through that a little bit too, because I think that can be very encouraging for people that are listening, because it doesn't always go as planned, you know?
Well, you changed positions too, right? I mean, you were a defensive player and then ultimately played as an offensive player.
Yeah. Yeah. And so again, that's where hindsight, right? You look back and you're like, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I'm so thankful that God put me through that journey. But like, my faith was rocked because I was angry. I was angry because I felt like, hey, I'd put in the work. I did things right. I was supposed to be drafted. I was productive. And
weren't you like defensive player of the year too? You were like one of the better.
I mean, I was confident, you know, in my skills and production, but you know, that doesn't translate necessarily to the professional level, right? They're looking at ability, talent, you know, potential. And so it was hard because, and I remember, and I kind of tell this story on going through the draft process. And I was sitting at my parents' house. They had this green leather couch. And like when it's game day for me, like you can't be around me. Like literally if Sunday game, like Friday afternoon, I start to get on edge. Like you just got to give me space. So I kind of went through the same thing with the draft. So my parents just gave me space. But I just remember like, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be a first day. Second day would be great, but probably not. But for sure, you know, fifth, sixth or seventh round, because, you know, I earned it. Right. And I thought that I was owed that. And I just remember sitting there and just angry with God, like, God, why would you put this on my heart so passionately, like my entire life? Like it's the second I was old enough to like want to do something, that's all I wanted to do. And so, you know, just like, why would you put this on me? And then, you know, it was one of those things that like, God, why would you put this so heavy on my heart and then just take it away? And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. So I didn't get any opportunities. I didn't even get the chance to go to like a rookie mini camp, which they invite tons of people to that. I didn't even get a call to that. So I went to a workout for a CFL team and went up and played in Edmonton with the Eskimos. And it was something that, one, I think reignited my passion for the game. It reignited, you know, the work ethic. But then again, after my first year in Canada, I came back and I was then cut going into my second season. Like I had a fun first year. I started most of the year. I was a good role player on special teams, but then I got cut going back. And Tiffany and I just started dating. But again, all of this happens for a reason. So coming back from Canada, Tiffany, that's when Tiffany and I started dating. And, you know, like I said, you make a ton of money in Canada, which is sarcastic. Oh, and then you lose 20% on the exchange rate coming home. So I come home and I mean, I'm flat broke, like broke. And so I was working at an insurance company. I was working at a sports bar. I was selling Christmas trees. All when I meet her, no, I'm going to marry her. And now it's like, okay, how am I even going to buy a ring? How am I going to, you know, pay for a wedding? How am I, all these things? And I couldn't. And God put in Tiffany in my life at that time. There was a reason for it. One, I vetted out that she wasn't marrying me for my money, because that was the case. And then two is, I mean, just the support that, that she gave through that process was unbelievable. And I mean, I was passionately pursuing this dream that I had that was like getting further and further away. I mean, how could I ever play on Sundays if I couldn't even play in the Canadian League, right? That'd be like getting cut on like a single A team and be like, oh, no, I'm going to make it to the bigs, but I'm not even good enough to make a single A team. And so she rode by, I mean, every dollar we made went to like traveling to this workout or doing this or paying for workouts or, I mean, it was insane. And then all the while, here's this check to my ego that like, okay, I was able to get the ring, but now, hey, you're going to have to pay for your own wedding. Like as a husband, like our job is to provide and protect. And like, I didn't feel like I could do either. And so we get married and again, this is how much of a rocker she is that she's down right after we get married, like literally right after we get married, she's like, hey, I know that you're frustrated with this. Like, because I was ready to hang them up. I was like, I'm done. Like I'm full-time insurance salesman now. And she's like, I know you have football left in you, whatever you need to do, like I'm by your side all the way. And so I started at the bottom and went to the Arena League, which was the first year back that the Arena League, after it got canceled for a couple of years. And so it was like rough. So they're paying, I think I made like $500 a month, but like they made up for it in Subway coupons. True story. And so like I'd eat breakfast, lunch and dinner, Subway sandwiches, cause I got free sandwiches. And so, you know, we get married and I leave a week and a half later to go to the Arena League. Mm-hmm. And I'm living in an apartment with three other players. We couldn't afford her flying, cause she was working back in Fresno. And I mean, she made a good living. She was running a spa. I mean, she had it all together. And I was like this kid chasing his dream. And so she supported us. But the craziest story was I'd been there for like eight or nine weeks in our one buy. And we saved up enough money that I flew home because it's like, oh, hey, I haven't seen my wife in 2 months. And so I'm going to go home and see her. Well, just so happened that there was a CFL workout in Fresno Friday night. There was a workout in San Diego Saturday morning for the UFL, which was a new developmental league. And then there was a workout Saturday night in LA for another UFL team. So here I am, haven't seen my wife. She supported us. She's been working. And I come home and I'm like, hey, this is our time together. But we're going to go on these workouts. Are you good with that? She's like, yeah, let's go. So literally worked out Friday night, got in a car, and drove to San Diego, which from Fresno to San Diego is about six and a half hours. And this is when it kind of hit me again. This is another moment with God where I was just like, God, what are you doing? And we're driving down and we couldn't afford a hotel room. So we had to sleep in our car. So we drove down and slept like 4 hours in the car. And I remember not being able to sleep. We're sleeping in the back of her car because my car was a pile and wouldn't make it all the way down there. And I'm sleeping in the back of her car. And I'm like, okay, this is my wife. Like I vowed to provide for her, to protect her. And I can't do those. What am I doing chasing this dream? And I just said, God, like, just show me, like, am I supposed to keep doing this? Because I was miserable again. Like I really was miserable. And that morning was a workout with the Sacramento Mountain Lions. And it was like kind of the craziest deal. So you talked about that transition is I went to be a linebacker defensive end. And I also long snapped. So I snapped.
You did everything.
When you're not great at anything, you got to be good at a lot of things. So, and how it played out was there was a lot of defensive guys at this workout and we were in a period of one-on-ones and the line, there was only like 7 or 8 running backs at this workout. And so there was like 30 linebackers. So these running backs are running through these one-on-ones, running routes against the linebackers. and the running backs just got gassed. They were tired. They couldn't. So the running back coach is like, all right, guys, we're going to take a break. And I'm sitting around like, no. Like, I haven't even gone yet. Like, I'm not going to just sit and not go. So I was like, hey, I'll just go run some routes. No big deal. And ran over, jumped on the other side and ran a couple routes and won on them and caught the eye of one of the coaches. And anyways, finished the weekend, flew back to the arena team in Salt Lake City. And I get a call from that UFL team. They're like, hey, we don't want to sign you. We want to work you out again, but not as a linebacker or long snapper. We want to work you out as a fullback. And I was like, fullback? Talking about.
And so, well, and at the same time, he was offered the CFL contract. Like they offered him to go back. And Tyler, again, with loyalty, just like, that's where I'm going. And that was the first time that I kind of.
Well, there was a $5,000 signing bonus, which still to this day would be the largest signing bonus that I would have ever gotten. So I was like, oh, babe, like $5,000, we're rich. Like, we'll take this, go to Canada, and then we'll do it again. And the wisdom that she provided, she's like, hey, listen, like, okay, you go to Canada, you're there for a couple more years, then what? Like, I know what your goal is. Like, here's an opportunity. Like, let's just trust God. Like, he opened this door for us. Let's take it. And I was like, nah, I know Canada. I'm comfortable there. And I mean, it's better for us. And she's like, it's going to be really hard. Like, I've stood by you. I just think that we need to see this through. So we did. We passed on that contract and went to another workout. And yeah, the rest is kind of history and made the team. And there's a whole bunch of things that God did to align that. But that's what started my, 6 years in the NFL was that opportunity. And my running back coach was Mike McDaniels, who now is the Miami head coach. Oh, and cool. So it was a guy that believed in me from the start, and again, when I say like we made it, it's legitimately we, because it was 100% like her faith and support through that process that allowed us to even have that door opened.
Yeah. And Tiffany, what was your perspective the whole time? Because I find a lot of similarities in like it went with our marriage. Like I just was for math the whole time. Like, mm-hmm. I just wanted, and it wasn't this weird thing. Like, I need you to make it so you can provide for us. It's like, I can tell that you love this and I want to be with you in this journey, And so for you, what was it that kept you engaged in the process? Because it was quite a process.
Yeah. I think you're spot on though. Like, I think the pressures that male or men put on themselves is not even what has gone through our minds at all. Well, some people's mind. I never once thought, okay, he's not providing, or I never once thought it was a big deal that he wasn't a certain amount of money. Like I looked at him and I had never been with a man that worked as hard as he did. Mm-hmm. I never been with someone who pushed so hard for something that they wanted, or to me, like anyone can have money or anybody can, but to have the work ethic that he has and the drive that he has, and I admired him so much in that. I truly had never seen that. Like I never had a guy that opened my car door before. I never had a guy who showed me so much love and grace, and he just was so different. So to me, that didn't matter. We didn't need to have a certain amount of money. Like I knew that he still had this dream that he didn't fulfill, and I didn't want to be the person that stopped that. We didn't have kids yet. It worked. And I was very independent, probably not as good as I should have been in that time. And so I was okay that he could do that because I was still so busy back home. And I truly, even when he still says it, I just never looked at him the way he felt. And that it still like breaks my heart that he even went there, because those things just never crossed. I looked at it as I love you and I'm going to push and I'm going to be your biggest fan. I mean, he'd come off of a tryout and I'd be like, hey, you need to do this better. Or you should, did you see that guy? Because I always believed in him in a way that he didn't see himself. And
yeah. I mean, that held true through my whole career. But yeah, so she was just supportive through my entire career. And I knew, because when we first started dating, she'd watched a lot of football, but like, I mean, crazy. Like she'd come, like after the game, she goes, hey, on that backside cut, play. Like, how come you went low on him and cut him instead of just staying up and blocking him? I'm like, I don't know, Tiff. Like, in the moment, I just messed it up. I don't know. So she like totally understood it, but like it was great because she could reset kind of this you know, the self-deprecation that I'd find myself in sometimes after games, like, not good enough. I'm not this. She's like, hold on, like, let's look at the perspective here. Like, you're doing fine. You're doing great. So it was, she always was my biggest fan. And I joke about this is like, if I had actually hired her as my agent, like I probably still would be playing for sure.
Incredible. All right, let's talk about Jesus. So where were you guys even when you first met? Like, what's been your faith journey? Like some highs, and we talked about some lows, just like the honesty that I so appreciate from you, Tyler, about disappointment in the Lord on, hey, this isn't going the way I thought it should go. And so I'm just curious sort of how y'all were raised, if being disciples of Christ has always been something that you valued. Like, what's your Jesus story? Broad question. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you go first.
I have been a believer since I was little, grew up in my faith, and I honestly, it's always been something that I've had. I obviously struggled and had many moments where my faith was tested, but it was the one through a lot of ups and downs in my life and really scary times. Like, the Lord was always something that was constant and that was there. So to me, there was never life without the Lord. It was always, even if I pulled away, I always knew that it was wrong. Like, I always desired that relationship with him. And so mine's a little hard. He was every part of my life. But I definitely, as I've gotten older, have understood the one-on-one relationship versus just having faith. But even when we started dating, I had just kind of made clear just what I was looking and what I feel like the relationship I had before him failed a lot because the Lord wasn't in our relationship the way that it should have been. And the Lord was so gracious to us in our relationship because we made him the priority. TMI, but like Tyler and I didn't have sex till we got married. We had before and had both decided, I had shared that with one other person and I was broken. I felt like I had to stay in that relationship because I had already shared that and I had just felt so much shame and I try to encourage girls so much in that, like, just because you make that decision doesn't mean you have to continue in that. So when we started dating and when we say we had no secrets, I had kind of already knew. Just he was just kind of adventured out in college, we could say. And so I told him, I said, if your goal is to sleep with me, then this is not going to work. And he had at that moment had just said, I've always prayed for that, but I've never done it. And so our honeymoon was our first night, like our first trip out of town together, our first alone, like that was our, you know, it was hard. It was not easy. It's why it kind of happened quicker. A year. Yeah. Anyway, you want to take that? But anyways, so sorry, might have to cut that out. But anyways, to me, the Lord, I had a lot of scary times in my life and the Lord was something that never changed. Mm-hmm. That was why I was able to get through a lot of it.
Yeah. And with mine, similar in that I grew up going to church. My grandfather was a Baptist pastor. I grew up going to church every week. But there was never that solid that Tiffany mentioned, right? That solid relationship, right? It was more of a checklist. Oh, I've got to be good. I've got to do this. Like, I mean, if you looked at it from the outside, me through high school, I was like, I was in youth group. I was student body prep. I was doing everything right. I never drank, never did. And everything was on paper in place, but I just don't think my heart was connected. And then, you know, again, I realized that in college because I didn't have a foundation, right? Once I was on my own and I got to make my own decisions and I got to, you know, there was nothing for me to fall back on. And I just did what I wanted, right? And it was a very selfish time. And a lot of, I think people, they say, well, you know, it shouldn't be because of somebody that you do something. And you shouldn't go to church because of somebody. You need to have a relationship with God. And I don't agree with that. I think God uses people. Mm-hmm. And God used Tiffany at that time because I was lost and I was separated from God. And he used her, and I wanted to be the man that she deserved, which ultimately led me back to finding Christ. And it was one of the just tools that he used. And that was the catalyst for me that I just realized, okay, like, God, you are so good. Like, you've always been there for me. You've always been good to me. And how could I feel like I'm doing this all myself? And that was my relationship. It was like, if I wanted it done, I was going to do it myself. And it was the ego, right, that the devil uses in me. And in my ego, I prided myself on being the hard worker, and I was going to earn it, and I was going to earn everything. And it's like, I didn't earn anything. Like, if you look at it, I didn't learn any of the things. And I look back, it was all of the doors that were open had nothing to do with my hard work. All the opportunities I got had nothing to do with the preparation and the discipline and all the things I prided myself on. It was all things that, like, God put in front of me to enjoy, even though I didn't deserve it. And so, I mean, he used Tiffany and, you know, really rededicated publicly, rededicated my faith in 2012 at our first PAO conference. Mm-hmm. Dr. Evans spoke, and it was like, I have to do this. Like, I have to publicly proclaim the goodness that God has been to me and to us. And so, you know, at that point, it was, you know, yeah, again, it's not always easy, right? And when I went through the transition, it was hard. I went back to my old ways, and it was, I've got to outwork everybody, I've got to do this, and I've got to earn it, and I've got to, but he put Tiffany in my life to constantly remind me to look up and not look inward.
That's great. I think though, in the times looking back, like the most, like I'll even use the twins as an example, like, or even Giada, like we weren't planning Giada, we got pregnant with Gia like a year into our marriage, and we didn't date very long. So it was just, and I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? Like, why would you do this? Like, we're not ready for this. And that was just his plans in that. And like, even with the twins, like I was literally like, okay, Lord, I am not going to be a twin mom. Like, I can't do this. This is not going to work. And it's always those times that even when we question him, he always is like, don't question me, because I know that my way is so much better than your way. And so even in my faith, in those times that like, I thought I knew better than the Lord, he always has been like, no, you can't do this. Like, you don't get to be the decision maker.
That's good. I love that. All right. Two final questions for y'all. I could talk to you all day, and hopefully I see you in Dallas in a couple of days, Tiffany, and I can talk to you all day. But anyway, so if you were to witness any miracle in scripture, what would it be? And maybe why, you know?
Any miracle in scripture. I was to witness, like be there? Like,
there, yeah.
Mm. Oh, that's a good one.
It's a tough question. I'm pretty proud of it.
Really tough. I've never even thought about that.
I mean, if I could witness one, I mean, I would, if I could see the Red Sea parting,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know any other miracle that is more conclusive than that. I mean, yes, like obviously Christ resurrecting, Lazarus, like those types of things, but like to literally see Red Sea part and people walk through that, I don't know, that would be pretty cool to see.
I don't know, maybe like the healing, like even like, well, or going like, you know, Jesus like washing someone's feet, or someone like coming up to him and him just so beautifully like laying hands and healing someone. To me, just to see like his work layout, or like when John baptized him, like the things that to me like make me know like how much he loves me, because he's just who he is. It would probably, I'm not always like the big things. I'm like the little things that just grab my heart.
That's so good.
Probably something like that.
That's good. I love it. All right.
Okay. Last one from me. Table 40 is the name of the, so as you guys probably, we like to entertain. We have people at our house all the time, especially when we play. The teammates over, off days, dinners, sit around the table. So if you had a table tonight with 6 or 8, 10 people besides your family, could be past, present, teammates, people you didn't know. We've had Tom Brady, we've had Michael Jordan, we've had
Abraham Lincoln.
We've had all kinds. Who's at your table and what are you eating?
Ooh, the eating is what will get my mind going, not the people. Is it, we have to agree to the same people?
No, you can.
Oh. You get four.
It's a pretty open question.
Yeah, you get four, I get four.
You have to go first.
So I don't know if it would be anybody specific. I think one of the blessings of having been and shared the locker room with like a lot of like popular, well-known people, successful people, is that you recognize very quickly that they're people, mm-hmm. and that they struggle and they have the same insecurities, mm-hmm. and they have all the same things. So like at my table, I would say someone like Gandhi, someone that's like been persecuted, Nelson mm-hmm. Mandela, someone that like has stayed faithful through persecution. I mean, Paul for sure, right? Like if you could have Paul at your table, I mean, come on, like, and that's what, for me, I'm like, I don't know, I'm in this like wisdom kick right now. I guess I should always be in it, but I'm like starving for that. And so the more life experiences, the more intriguing to me. And to me, life experiences are struggle. And yeah. and that's where wisdom manifests itself is on the other side of struggle. And so, I mean, like I said, it's anybody specifically, but someone that has gone through something very, very difficult and come out the other side, but handled that struggle with grace, and with hope and maintain that hope through it. Those are the people that I'd love to be around.
Yeah. Maybe Job at your table, Job and Paul.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. For you.
I mean, Job, yeah. Job for sure. I mean, I think I've read that book unintentionally like 6 times because I struggle to get through it for some reason. I don't know why. So I start rereading it. And every time I'm like, there's no chance that I would be able to do what Job did for as long as he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I'm the same. I don't know. To me, like a famous person, I know it sounds terrible, but I kind of could care less.
Unless it's Michael Jordan.
For sure. I mean, like I loved, I thought he was going to marry me when I was young, and I had a book my mom got me. I was so young and I found out that he was married. Like I legit thought like he was going to marry me. I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe he would be there.
She settled with me.
Tyler resembles Michael Jordan a lot. I don't know. I mean, I'm like the dorky girl that still, like Jackie Velasquez was at one of our churches one time, and I like got nervous for the first time.
That's one of the only times I've seen her like fangirl for sure.
I love like those people. Like I love the people that Jackie Allen, you know, the people, Priscilla Shire, that are, you know, moving women and encouraging them. And so I honestly feel like I couldn't make that decision because I don't know. I'd have to write them down and think about it. And I feel like I would be more like Tyler and like, what would that conversation bring? Cause to me, coming from like a big Italian family, like gathering around for a meal is one of my favorite things in the world. Mm-hmm. To me, that's where vulnerability and conversation and moments that you'll never get back. And so like when you said, what would you eat? Oh my gosh. Like everything, I would make everything. Obviously I would probably do more Italian food. He would do like steak and I would do
maybe
like
Subway.
What?
Subway?
Yeah, Subway for sure.
Yeah, grilled chicken sandwich, mustard, no mayo.
When we started dating, he thought margarine was real butter. And I said, that's not real butter. He said, yes, it was.
My family's from Arkansas. We have margarine. All right.
Okay, what's your best Italian dish?
My papa, before he passed, taught me how to make homemade raviolis. And so I would love to probably like sit down and do that with the kids.
Yeah.
But I just love any type of pasta. Mm-hmm. We love seafood. And I love making like an eggplant parmesan.
Her eggplant parm's really good.
Chicken parmesan.
Her chicken parm's good. But like even just like kind of the.
I love the sides that go with it. Yeah. So. Guys, I'm a foodie. I live for
food.
Sounds amazing though. Sounds amazing.
Come on over. I'll cook dinner for you.
Matt might.
I hope sounds pretty good.
Matt's dad's Italian. And so.
Oh, really?
It's a big Italian feast that are, you know, during the holidays and stuff. And so anyway, he's really good cook. So wow. Really good eggplant parm as well. So I love it. It's my favorite thing he makes.
Love See?
It. Love it.
It's good. All right, guys. Thank you so much. This was awesome.
That was fun.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to Table 40 with Matt and Leslie Holiday, part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories on sports intersecting with faith, visit sportsspectrum.com.